listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, Alzheimer's disease deteriorates many brain functions, but music seems to be the exception.
Technology is very hard for me now that I have Alzheimer's. Music, I don't miss a beat.
But first, addressing the lack of concussion protocols for law enforcement.
It's kind of crazy to think that us as a profession that have such a variety of incidents, there's more training for six-year-olds playing soccer than there is for us.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/TC17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
After joining the police force, Deputy Josh Walters was warned away from buying a motorcycle by his wife, who joked that he was only allowed one life-threatening interest at a time. The dangerous responsibilities of law enforcement are well known and often covered on the news, whether it's a high-speed car chase or a physical altercation. Usually, if there's no blood or broken bones, officers are considered healthy and go right back to work. But it's the internal damage from head trauma that too often goes unnoticed.
When we're involved in an incident, whether it be a car crash, whether it be somebody punching me in the face, smacking my head on the ground, I mean, all these different scenarios, you got to remember a concussion, it does not have to be an impact. You don't have to actually hit your head on something and get a concussion. In a very generic way of saying it, it's my brain smashing into my skull. So you can get concussions in a lot of ways, but it's not something that's ever been looked at or checked on. You know, when I'm involved in something, the first thing we check is for holes, and make sure I'm not stabbed, shot, all these things. If there's no blood, then a lot of times we forget to look at all the other things, that in between the ears aspect.
Walters says that while we've made incredible strides for recognizing and healing traumatic brain injuries in other areas, such as athletics, it's continued to be overlooked in law enforcement.
When you look at a peewee soccer coach, football coach, they have more training than we do on concussions. They have to go through more protocols on concussions than we do. It's kind of crazy to think that us as a profession that have such a variety of incidents, there's more training for six-year-olds playing soccer than there is for us.
In an effort to bring the same attention to law enforcement, Dr. Jacqueline Cassis led a concussion study that was recently published in the Journal of Head Trauma Rehabilitation. Cassis is an assistant professor in the School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences at The Ohio State University. Her team surveyed about 400 law enforcement officers in Central Ohio to get a sense of how common head injuries are in this line of work.
Our findings suggested that 74% of law enforcement officers reported a history of one or more prior TBIs, and 30% sustained one or more while working on the job.
Surprisingly, not all head injuries come from a physical impact. The blast pressure from explosions or gunshots can cause immediate damage and even bigger problems down the line if the injury is left untreated.
Things like headache, dizziness, nausea, fogginess. It also causes those mood-related symptoms. So depression, anxiety, feeling more emotional. And I think it's important to point out that in many of the cases in the head injuries that the law enforcement officers reported in our study, they went unreported, undiagnosed, untreated. And so when you have a head injury or a concussion and you don't treat them acutely, then a lot of times we see some long-term complications, long-term outcomes.
Such as symptoms of depression and PTSD, which is what Cassis's research focuses on. The surveys show that these symptoms were much more common in officers who had reported having previous head injuries. Not only can these injuries impact mental health, but they can get in the way of the officer's daily duties. Of the people who've gotten a concussion while working, Cassis says that 57% reported that it limited their ability to do their job.
Some of the more common symptoms are things like sensitivity to light and sensitivity to noise. And so now you're driving in the dark at night with lights and sirens on. That could provoke symptoms. Oftentimes they're tasked with writing reports about what happened. And following concussion, sometimes people feel foggy or have difficulty concentrating, which could make that more challenging.
Concussions can also affect a person's reaction time, which is a crucial component of law enforcement. Thankfully, this report provides a solid foundation for the next step, which is to create a standard concussion protocol. While the structure that athletes follow is a good rubric, the nature of an officer's job won't always allow for the ideal healing process. So the challenge is figuring out a flexible plan that still keeps everyone safe.
So when we think about return to duty protocols, we think about what athletes do in their return to play protocol or the military does for their return to duty protocol, which is essentially as soon as you can following the injury, remove the officer from duty. Now, of course, unlike, you know, your high school sports athlete who sustains a concussion while playing football, we can't always take them out at the moment that they sustain an injury.
It doesn't really work like that. They get to go off the sidelines. They get to go through the protocol. I still have a suspect. I still have paperwork I have to do. I still have to write a report. All these different processes still have to take place.
Which means that law enforcement has to define what their sidelines look like. If it can't be stopping work completely, then what's the next best option?
And I think that's where it really starts for us, is that first initial, how do we set up a process? Because we work in the gray area. Every use of force isn't going to be a concussion protocol. Every car crash isn't necessarily going to be, probably should be. Every time I fall, when you fall in gear, it is not a athletic, cute thing to do. It is clumsy, awkward, and painful. So every time I fall down in my gear, somebody's not running over to check me for a concussion. But we have to have some education and some evaluation of that.
It's important to note that the officer won't be out of duty for long. Concussion research is continuously evolving, and the days of sitting in isolation for weeks are gone. Modern healing takes a more active approach, meaning that the officer will be able to be back in action sooner rather than later.
Our recommendations have changed. So for a long time, it was like, sit in a dark room, wait till your symptoms resolve. And we've made a lot of progress in our understanding of how to properly manage concussions. And we actually find that rest is not best. We actually want people to get back to light aerobic exercise that doesn't exacerbate symptoms as soon as possible following injury. And then gradually increase from there, gradually increase both their physical and cognitive activities in the days or weeks following their injury. And then ultimately undergo a return to duty screening by a medical provider.
Many states have this screening as a requirement for athletes, so it's just a matter of shifting the rubric a bit to fit the different needs of an officer versus an athlete. A foundational part of this process is both self and peer assessment, which requires education on the signs and symptoms to watch out for. In an ideal world, Cassis would love it if every department had a healthcare professional on site so that the evaluation and care can happen immediately. And though this would take an immense amount of resources, Walter says it's not out of the realm of possibility.
We see some of these larger places that are being able to bring in ATs and CTs that can be a little more on staff, so to speak. And luckily, through our collaboration with OSU, we've been able to bring in some people on a kind of a part-time deal. They do so many hours with us where we have an ability to go down and see a specialist with something instead of having to go through a very lengthy process of trying to go through all of our different steps to get to a doctor, to an evaluation, where a lot of officers just give up and they go back to work and they grind it out. And then it ends up being a long-term injury in some aspect.
But even if departments are able to remove all of the healthcare hurdles, there's still the issue of officers not reporting their injuries, whether it's out of not wanting to miss work or thinking that reporting will be construed as being overdramatic. This is a blind spot for many institutions' concussion protocol.
You know, we see the same thing in the sports world. There are a lot of concussions in sports that go unreported because sometimes people don't know. Sometimes they don't want to report because they don't want to be removed from play. In this case, the officers maybe don't want to be removed from duty, which could be because they feel like they're letting their team down, their organization down, their agency down, or because they think it's not serious enough to need treatment.
Plus, a lot of guys my age and older than me, we come from a very different idea. When we look where concussions became a priority within sports, it really hasn't been that long. A lot of the people after me are a little more cognizant of it because they came through some of the sports where it was taught that this is a concussion. You're not going to go back on the field. Where my generation was, as long as you can pick one of the three fingers in front of you, you go back in. No matter how loud the ringing in your ears are, you're back in and you're playing again. And a lot of guys older than me, it was even worse than that. So a lot of it is just education in that aspect of looking at it as a real injury because it has very long-term effects.
Effects that don't just impact the injured person. Creating a universal concussion protocol for law enforcement isn't the end goal. It's one part of a larger plan to increase the overall wellness of officers. Walters believes that addressing the prevalent issues in this line of work, like sleep and mental health, will have a positive ripple effect through the department, community, and families of the officers.
We're trying to look at all these different principles of how to create a better officer for on the street, or in the jail, or in the courtroom, but also for home and for family. Because the more that we can have a healthy, more well-balanced officer, the better the officer is for the community, for their family, for their office. My family didn't choose this job, I chose it. They shouldn't have to be punished for my choice to choose this career.
You can find more information about Deputy Josh Walters, Dr. Jacqueline Cassis, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, a new music therapy for Alzheimer's disease when Radio Health Journal returns.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Dr. Brent Beasley always wanted to be in a band. His grandfather gifted him a guitar as a child, and his dad quickly enrolled him in lessons. And though Beasley would write songs, including one that was played at his wedding, his early dreams of becoming a musician took a back seat to his career as an internal medicine physician. However, his two passions merged in 2022 when Beasley's dad was dying from Alzheimer's disease.
My father passed away with Alzheimer's disease at the end of his life, but I could play guitar for my dad and his face would brighten and he would connect with some of the songs that we used to sing and enjoy as a family.
That same year, Beasley started at a new organization working with Alzheimer's patients and came down with a mild case of COVID. Though he was convinced it wasn't serious, Beasley's family noticed when he suddenly couldn't remember the rules to a board game. It wasn't long before the people at his new job took notice, too.
After a few months, the medical director came to me and said, "What's wrong with you?" We had scribes at that organization. She had been told by the scribes that I was repeating questions to patients over and over. But that began my journey of trying to figure out what was wrong with me, what was going on.
After Beasley had a brain scan and spinal tap, they came back with one conclusion. At age 57, he had Alzheimer's disease. While this wasn't exactly out of nowhere, his dad and grandfather had the condition, and COVID can sometimes accelerate its progression, it was a cruel twist. The doctor who treated patients with Alzheimer's for more than 30 years was now on the other side of the diagnosis. Beasley had no choice but to retire. He now spends his days bike riding, babysitting his 7-month-old grandson, and of course, playing music. It's one of the only things that Alzheimer's hasn't touched.
Technology, I used to be really good at it. Technology is very hard for me now that I have Alzheimer's. Music, I don't miss a beat. I still continue to be able to play, to sing. I've been able to enjoy all sorts of music. It's a constant for me. While other things are changing, I think music is a constant.
As Alzheimer's progresses, cognitive function withers away. There are medications that help slow the disease, but they're expensive and don't work for every patient. Beasley wrote in the Journal of General Internal Medicine that his experience as a doctor made the available treatments seem hopeless. Medications couldn't stop the spread of the disease, and the inevitable call to hospice seemed right around the corner. But even with all the destruction that Alzheimer's can cause, the part of the brain that remembers music is usually spared. A 2022 study in the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences found that music actually helps slow the progression of Alzheimer's and dementia. In fact, nonverbal and non-reactive patients will often start talking or moving around when familiar songs play. They can recall memories that they had previously forgotten, and they tend to show less distress and agitation. Dr. Felicity Baker from the University of Melbourne researches music therapy and its real-life impact.
We know that many family carers, they often talk about how music helps to see the person behind the dementia because they have a glimpse of what they used to be like because they become animated. They often start to talk when they don't talk much, and what they say can often have much more coherence when the music stimulates these pleasurable memories.
Baker is the head of a program called Match, which uses AI to predict a patient's mood and then plays music to prevent agitation and confusion.
We already know that music regulates people's arousal level, and usually a music therapist would do that. But we know that there aren't enough music therapists in the world to service the 55 million people with dementia. And not only that, a music therapist isn't there 24/7. And sometimes, you know, if a person with dementia, they often get confused about day and night. So they might just get up in the middle of the night and start wandering around the house, which can be quite challenging for a family caregiver. So teaching them strategies and having an automated system like this will help in those moments when there isn't any other help available.
Research has continuously proven that music can be a powerful therapeutic. Beasley used it with his father and now uses it for himself. When sitting down for this segment, he was meticulous with his words and had difficulty recalling the name of a band he'd seen perform a couple days before. But when he picked up his guitar, Beasley had no issue remembering More Than a Feeling by Boston, whose album he's had since junior high. When asked about his favorite Paul Simon song, he didn't hesitate to play the 59th Street Bridge song.
Moments last night, hobbled down the cobblestone, looked for love,
A lot of the music Beasley plays evokes memories of his youth, and music therapy uses that nostalgia to their advantage when treating patients. Older songs are often the most effective because the memories they uncover provide a source of comfort. But not all music has a positive effect. Some songs have negative memories attached to them, which means that music used for therapeutic purposes has to be the right music, or else patients may get agitated or distressed, the exact opposite of what it's used for.
One of the things we know about people living with dementia is that the same song doesn't necessarily have the same effect every time you play it. It will depend on the person's level of arousal, what they need right at that moment.
Baker describes music therapy like an aspirin, where patients use it as needed. For instance, if a patient always becomes distressed while showering, playing music before and during can help calm them down and prevent a serious fall. The MATCH program is made for home care, where the need for effective treatment is the most dire.
Through the wearables that they have, the system will detect a change from their usual baseline, which is an indicator that an event of some kind is approaching. And the idea is that then it activates music that matches the agitation level and the arousal level of the person to then help to regulate it and return it as close to baseline as possible. And the system sort of draws on, it looks at the components of music, such as tempo, genre, year of the song was released, and has a whole set of musical parameters that in combination, the system will learn which combination works best for each person.
But consistency is key for music treatments like the MATCH program. Research shows that some people can speak and recall memories better during music therapy, but this progress fades after treatment. In addition to regular use, the MATCH program is able to grow with each patient's needs.
We know with people with dementia that their needs will change over time, and so the types of intervention through music that they will use will also change as they change, as their disease progresses.
For Beasley, music takes him back in time before his diagnosis. He's a rock and roll guy, so the music of his youth is what he gravitates toward the most. When he listens to Dan Fogelberg, he's transported to a concert he went to in his 30s. And Elton John comes through the speakers when he wants to revisit his 20s. Music and family have been intertwined for him ever since his grandfather bought him his first guitar. Now, he uses it to express himself and his love for his family members, including his young grandson, Francis.
I've always enjoyed writing music. Sometimes songs come very difficult, and sometimes songs come very easily in terms of the poetry. I've written a song for my grandson.
Francis fancies fancy poems, bird drills in gardens of golden green. Chases a bunny around the tree, funnily laughing and giggling the various.
You can find more information about Dr. Brent Beasley, Dr. Felicity Baker, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer this week is Annabelle Rivera. Our lead producer is Kristen Farah. I'm Greg Johnson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase, plus earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain.
But we don't speak Spanish.
So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks. Babbel's conversational method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish.
Estoy muy emocionado para ir a España contigo.
Aw, he just said, I'm very excited to go to Spain with you. Nos vamos a divertir mucho.
And that means we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sí. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit StraightTalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
You know, it only takes one bad decision to change your life. And writing after drinking can be one of those.
It can lead to impaired reflexes, poor judgment, and then disaster. Think about it. Even one drink affects your ability to ride. Alcohol can limit your reaction time and give you a false sense of confidence. You think it'll never happen to you, but it can. So, if you hit the bottle, don't roll the throttle. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Medical notes this week. Retiring to Florida may not be the best move for your health. Research in Nature Communications finds that increased global temperatures are affecting the older population more severely, and it's only going to get worse. An additional 250 million older adults will be exposed to high temperatures by 2050, and any additional heart problems further elevate the risk of heat stroke and exhaustion. How effective is oil pulling? Social media says swishing coconut oil in your mouth is great for you, but scientists say otherwise. Turns out there's no evidence to prove that it benefits your gums. Dentists say brushing your teeth and flossing are more effective for your routine. A new bandage could help you heal faster, and it's all thanks to electricity. Research in Science Advances reveals new bandages that use an electric field to speed up wound closures. These electric bandages healed wounds 30% faster during animal testing than regular ones. Scientists hope they can be used to treat more serious injuries that often result in amputations and death. And finally, the future of stroke prevention might be air-powered. An article in the journal Device reveals that a new computer that runs on air sounds alarms when medical machines fail. It's a cheaper alternative to other similar devices currently on the market. Researchers say it'll save lives by quickly recognizing problems with the machines that prevent blood clots and strokes. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayon Vosta-Betancourt.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain.
But we don't speak Spanish.
So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks. Babbel's conversational method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish.
Estoy muy emocionado para ir a España contigo.
Aw, he just said, I'm very excited to go to Spain with you. Nos vamos a divertir mucho.
And that means we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sí. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content, and tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A pleasant start to the month of September, as we'll see quite a bit of sunshine today. North to northwest winds, a bit breezy. Highs in the upper 60s, close to 70 degrees. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and quite chilly. Upper 30s to near 40 degrees. Currently 49 degrees.
This week on Viewpoints.
They're on a very fixed light-dark cycle, even in space, even though they're going around the Earth every 90 minutes, and so their day-night cycle is a 90-minute cycle.
Ever wonder how astronauts get good sleep in space? Then.
If it had not been for the horrible mistake he made with Watergate, he would be considered one of our better presidents for what he did with the environment.
We explore the lasting legacies of former presidents. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
How much sleep would you say you get per night? You may be able to wake up and get going after 5 or 6 hours, but is that enough? The recommended amount for a healthy adult is between 7 to 9 hours per night. And it's not just about the number of hours you get, but the quality of your sleep as well. If you've ever been jet-lagged, you know all too well that departures from a sleep schedule can have some ill effects. This is because the human body follows a 24-hour circadian rhythm, or circadian cycle, that can be thought of as your internal clock. It regulates when you're awake or asleep, and helps your body coordinate when to carry out different internal functions.
Circadian rhythms have become part of medicine in that when one is thinking about when is your blood pressure high, when is your ability to sleep, it's all regulated by a circadian clock system that is throughout the entire body.
That's Dr. Fred Turek, a professor of biology at Northwestern University and the director of their Center for Sleep and Circadian Biology. Turek says your circadian rhythm is vital to a variety of bodily functions, and throwing off this internal clock has several negative effects.
People who are working during the nighttime, say from midnight to 8 a.m., and then trying to sleep during the day, have a much higher prevalence of a variety of mental and physical disorders. But what we've learned over the years is that any sort of disruption of our biological clock at the level of the whole organism, meaning all of our biological rhythms, or even at the level of a single tissue or organ such as the pancreas, it's not properly timed with all the rest of the circadian clocks in the body, then we can have a dysfunction of that particular organ or that particular tissue.
For astronauts in space who don't have sunrise and sunset keeping their internal clocks accurate, this can pose some serious health challenges.
NASA has been very interested and aware of this circadian issues, disrupting circadian rhythms, disrupting sleep, and they've responded very over the years such that the astronauts, for example, are given 8 hours of time to sleep and they're roughly awake about 16 hours. And they're on a very fixed light-dark cycle even in space, even though they're going around the Earth every 90 minutes. And so their day-night cycle is a 90-minute cycle. But for example, the International Space Station, but even on the shuttle, the light-dark cycle is controlled and it's maintained constantly. They're not shift workers in the general sense of the term, because NASA makes sure that they sleep at the same time and are awake at the same time, unless there's some sort of event that needs to disrupt their sleep-wake cycle.
NASA scientists report that on average across missions, astronauts in space get about 6 hours of slumber per night. You may think that this number isn't that bad, but the quality of sleep is typically lower than on Earth, according to Dr. Emmanuel Urquita. Urquita is the chief medical officer at the Translational Research Institute for Space Health, a key partner of NASA. He's also an assistant professor at the Center for Space Medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine. He says that the rapid eye movement phase, the deepest stage of sleep, is drastically reduced while in space.
It's during that phase that you get most of the sleep that, you know, brings all of the benefits from sleeping. So even though you might have 6 hours of sleep, the phase of sleep that gives you most of the benefits and gives you the mental refresh is reduced by 50%.
In addition to this deficit, Urquita says that roughly 70% of astronauts on board space shuttles and at the International Space Station have needed sleeping pills to help fall or stay asleep. Along with medications, there are set protocols and routines in place to help signal the body that it's time to rest or wake up.
Usually they get woken up with some music that they play from Earth. The days try to be roughly 16 hours of work and, well, of activities, I would say work, but 16 hours of scheduled activities and 8 hours of sleep. But, you know, the space station is not the ideal place to sleep. Usually, at least on the USOS and the US segment, each astronaut has his or her own living quarter. It's, it's a small place. They have actually doors. They can have some privacy there. Some of them have some windows to look outside, tiny windows like portholes. And, you know, they have some of their personal items there, some family pictures. They have a computer, so they can get some privacy there. But that being said, it's still not an ideal place to sleep.
Spacecraft can be a noisy setting with all of the fans and systems running 24/7. In addition to blocking out the white noise, astronauts have to get used to the peculiar feeling of sleeping without gravity. Instead of lying back on a firm mattress topped with lush pillows, they get their rest while floating around in a sleeping bag tethered to a wall.
The sleeping bag is really on the wall or the floor or the ceiling. It depends on what part of the station they are. Of course, they don't feel that they are on the sleeping on the ceiling or sleeping on the wall because there's no gravity, right? So there's no sensory motor or proprioception cues. But, you know, it's not what you're used to, right? You're used to sleeping on your side, your front, or your back, but not sleeping technically standing up, right? So that's another thing that they're not. The proprioception cues that you normally get here on Earth when you're sleeping, they're not there in space.
Despite the hardships that arise from this lack of sleep, Urquita says that in the short term, the comprehensive training and screening that astronauts undergo on Earth help prepare them to still perform even if they feel sleep-deprived. NASA is also developing new technologies to help aid sleep, including the development of a headpiece that astronauts could one day wear as they prepare for bed.
Imagine these sort of helmets that you would be wearing, or headbands, and they're resonating at a very specific frequency. So this frequency goes into your brain, and then it helps you to, number one, to go to sleep, and number two, to stay sleeping, right? And this is completely non-pharmacological. So, you know, all the medications that I was mentioning earlier, and not only these ones, but any medication that exists in the world, it has potential adverse events, right, and secondary effects.
Turek says that there's still much research that needs to be done to understand the long-term ramifications of living and sleeping in space.
We only have really good data for one person, really, Scott Kelly, I think, who has been in space for a year. And, you know, to get to Mars and back is going to be about a 3-year mission. And NASA continues to study what is the effect of longer and longer time spent in space on the human biology, including the sleep-wake cycle. And we want to keep collecting data. And, you know, since the mission to Mars is probably going to be in the 2030s, NASA, and I'll call it NASA, will be continuing to monitor the microbiota, the circadian rhythms, the sleep-wake cycle of individuals who are in space for long periods of time.
We do know that sleep is vital to each and every human, whether you're hitting the pillow while on Earth or in space. You can learn more about this topic and our guests by visiting viewpointsradio.org. The segment originally aired in August 2021 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Coming up,
As we gear up to elect our next president, we look back on some of the most interesting presidencies to date when Viewpoints returns.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Don't settle for bumps, ingrowns, and itch due to dry skin. Try Venus for pubic hair and skin, the razor and regimen specifically designed for your pubic area. Featuring a razor with patent irritation defense bar and skincare regimen that is dermatologist and gynecologist tested, Venus helps protect your pubic skin from shave irritation. Discover the full regimen of products at GilletteVenus.com.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama. You probably know a few interesting tidbits on each of these notable former presidents. Maybe you learned about them in history class or watched a documentary on their achievements and failures. But what about lesser-known presidents like Warren G. Harding or Calvin Coolidge? While they may not have a prominent historical narrative today, they all had a big impact on American policy and society.
When I began to do a little bit more research on Warren G. Harding, he had many similarities with the last president I covered, namely Donald Trump. Warren G. Harding was the first president to campaign on the notion, on the slogan, more than a notion, on the slogan of America First. Warren G. Harding inherited a difficult economy, and he revived the economy through tax cuts, similar to what Donald Trump did 100 years later. Both presidents had a focus on immigration and reducing immigration from outside the United States. So the two presidents had a lot of similarities.
That's Ronald Gruner, the author of We the Presidents, How American Presidents Shaped the Last Century. Gruner's book dives into each of the presidents between 1921 and 2021. The collection starts with the 29th president, Warren G. Harding, who led the country from 1921 to 1923. Unfortunately, he died from a heart attack halfway into his presidency. He's often ranked by historians as one of the worst presidents ever. But Gruner argues the opposite, highlighting his many contributions to modern immigration and economic policy.
He also was the grandfather of supply-side economics, an economic philosophy that's propagated over the last 100 years, and that was really revived and popularized by Ronald Reagan during the Reagan economic revolution. He did that through his cabinet secretary, Andrew Mellon, who developed the notion that reducing taxes often can increase tax revenues because if people are overtaxed, they avoid tending to pay. Andrew Mellon called that scientific taxation. Today, we call it supply-side economics. Another thing that Harding did was he brought in Herbert Hoover. Now, Herbert Hoover is painted with a rather negative brush because of his presidency during the Depression. But during the 20s, he was considered the best commerce secretary the nation had ever had and pioneered many, many things to encourage business.
And Harding wasn't just focused on commerce. During the early 20th century, he fought hard for equality and civil rights for all, especially in the deeply divided South.
He was the first sitting president to go to the Deep South, Birmingham, Alabama specifically, with a strong message of racial equality, simply saying, we cannot truly be America in a democracy if we don't respect all races and genders and religions as equal. And he took that message to the Deep South, to a very divided crowd, divided, segregated by whites and blacks. I think there were close to tens of thousands of people there. And it was a brave thing to do at the time.
But despite his accomplishments, a couple of large scandals ultimately overshadowed his brief presidency. Gruner says this is why many historians today paint Harding in a negative light.
After he died, news or information about scandals and fraud in his administration came out, namely the Teapot Dome scandal, in which his Interior Secretary took bribes to give contracts to oil companies. And 5 years after he died, a book was written by the mother of his daughter, writing about the fact that his daughter was conceived when he was a senator, which, of course, painted a negative aspect to his reputation many years after he died, which stayed with him for many years.
Harding is not the only one who faced these troubles. In fact, many presidents dealt with scandals that affected their legacy in office. Richard Nixon, for instance, made incredible progress on environmental policy during his years in office, but is rarely remembered for this contribution.
The environment was filthy in the 50s and 60s. The air was filthy. You had acid rain decomposing buildings and statues, making people were dying occasionally in the hundreds when you had a low depression over a city. The rivers were filthy, caught fire. The Cuyahoga caught fire a number of times in Pittsburgh or in Pennsylvania. So he put in the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. He instituted OSHA because people were dying at a higher rate in industry than they were in Vietnam in the 1960s. And also automobile safety. And Richard Nixon did all that, to his credit. It's not recognized now. He was so active in putting in regulations for the environment. The economist Milton Friedman, who was a kind of a free market economist, called Nixon the most socialist president of the 20th century, which to him was a denigration, but actually showed how active Nixon was promoting the environment.
Today, many people hear the name Nixon and instantly think of the Watergate scandal. The same goes for Bill Clinton, who will forever be connected to his affair with Monica Lewinsky. These scandals rocked the nation and left a lasting stain on their time in office. Another common pitfall for presidents stems from the big picture decisions that impact the nation for many years to come. All too often, hindsight is 20/20, and practically every former president has made some hard choices that not everyone agrees with.
Harry Truman, for example, basically made a lot of hard decisions that made him the most unpopular president leaving the presidency of any time. Yet over the years, he's come to be respected for the difficult decisions that he actually made. So courage is very important. The other thing I personally give a great deal of credit to is character. I mean, people sometimes say, well, I don't like so-and-so, or I don't care for the individual, but I like his policies. Well, I tend to disagree with it. I really think the first thing we as Americans should look for is character, because that ultimately comes out and affects how decisions are made down the road. So character is something we don't see in all presidents, but I think is very, very important.
Qualities like character, leadership, and resilience are just some of the traits that factor into a politician becoming a commander-in-chief. Another key part is the strategy behind each presidential campaign, which builds on past successful campaigns. Take slogans, for instance.
The greatest similarity over the last 100 years goes back to our friend Warren G. Harding. He had two campaign slogans. Was America First and Return to Normality is the phrase he used, Return to Normality. In the early 1920s, the United States was recovering from World War I, the Spanish flu of 1918, and progressive politics very aggressively pursued for 20 years, starting with Teddy Roosevelt. So that was his focus. In 1980, Ronald Reagan campaigned on Let's Make America Great Again, which is essentially the same idea as America First and a return to normality. Reagan was looking back to an earlier time to return America to, just as Harding was. And then, of course, we all know Donald Trump ran on America First and Make America Great, which was just an adoption of Reagan's campaign phrase of Let's Make America Great Again. He just dropped the let's.
On top of slogans, another similarity is the strategy behind which issues to focus on during the lead-up to the election.
Every president has taken advantage of the weaknesses and the problems in the prior presidency he is running against. Nixon did that very effectively when he basically campaigned on law and order, something we hear today after the race riots and the riots against the Vietnam War in the mid to late 1960s. And to some extent, that divided the nation as we see today. The thing that's changing so rapidly today is that much of the campaigning is so divisive, it's dividing the country into two parts, blue and red.
Over the last 20 to 30 years, Gruner says that this partisan division during campaigning has only further separated Americans based on beliefs. Political campaigning will always be a constant, but this heated animosity between voters has larger implications on democracy and unity. To find out more about the history of U.S. presidents and our guest Ronald Gruner, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in February 2022 and was written and produced by Amira Zavery. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Nachos! Get your nachos!
Hey, I'll take some.
Great. And some Frank's Red Hot.
Oh, nah. I'm good.
Oh, you're just gonna eat these dry, plain, boring nachos with no Frank's? Seriously? Frank it up! Frank it up! Come on, lady! Frank it up! Frank it up! Frank it up! Yeah! Yeah, this guy finally gets it. Hey, look, we're on the Jumbotron.
It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat. Frank's Red Hot. I put that on everything.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris.
Do you feel like reviews have become less helpful and more suspicious over time? So many products on Amazon seem to have thousands of glowing testimonials. Even on websites for local businesses or small brands, it can feel dizzying and scrolling through review after review, trying to figure out what sounds like it's coming from an actual customer versus a planted comment meant to drive up the average rating. This practice is called astroturfing. And some companies have even been caught red-handed. A big skincare and cosmetic brand, Sunday Riley, recently came under fire after it came out that the company was forcing employees to post reviews online. But many people have argued PR backlash alone isn't just a deterrent to stop companies from astroturfing. To better protect consumers, the Federal Trade Commission just passed a new rule banning the buying and selling of all fake online reviews. Brands or businesses who don't follow this new policy could face up to a $50,000 fee per violation. The new policy also makes it illegal for certain websites to say they have impartial reviews and opinions on products when that's not really the case. This new FTC policy is set to take effect in mid-October, and we're hoping it leads to less time and money wasted on products that didn't live up to the hype. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. I've always been drawn to science fiction filmmaking. In part, that's because it allows the audience an avenue to explore those same questions humans have been asking for generations. Movies like Interstellar and Contact help us question the nature of the universe and family and, heck, even ourselves. A film like Arrival can explore so much about humanity and our behavior by looking at people through the prism of an alien race. Sometimes these stories can be scary or funny or adventurous, but at the end of the day, they're all just tales we tell each other around a fire, asking questions and proposing answers. Classics in the genre, like 2001 A Space Odyssey and Solaris, can often be seen as difficult or confusing. They may run long, sometimes they have subtitles or outdated visual effects, but they can actually be quite simple and incredibly rewarding if audiences go in understanding they may leave with more questions than answers. Gattaca is another sci-fi movie that gives audiences something of a moral quandary to consider. As technology advances and human beings become more and more in control of everything around us, some big questions await. And sometimes, like in the case of the movie Annihilation, sci-fi can just be one big expedition, with new terrors and delights around every corner. Sci-fi is a genre that aspires to prompt thought and discussion, and for that reason, there's always going to be an audience for it. I'm Evan Rook.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer heavy-duty dry cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper heavy-duty dry cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A pleasant start to the month of September, as we'll see quite a bit of sunshine today. North to northwest winds, a bit breezy. Highs in the upper 60s, close to 70 degrees. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and quite chilly. Upper 30s to near 40 degrees. Currently 49 degrees.